I am going to be talking about the reproductive rights of women with intellectual disabilities under guardianship in the state of New Mexico. And I have no relationships to disclose regarding this research. Three generations of imbeciles are enough. This was said by Supreme Court Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes in 1927 in regards to the Supreme Court case Buck versus Bell. Buck versus Bell upheld the constitutionality of the forced sterilization of women with disabilities in 1927. People with disabilities have had a long history of forced sterilization, and by the 1970s, over 60,000 individuals with a disability had been sterilized in the United States. Up until 1985, 15 states still permitted the forced sterilization of people with disabilities, and even today, the Buck versus Bell ruling has not been overturned. What led me to my research is that in 2011, in the state of New Mexico's legislative session, Senate Bill 230 was introduced. The bill was also known as the Parental Notification Act, and the bill stated that an abortion shall not be performed upon an unemancipated minor or upon a female for whom a guardian or conservator has been appointed because of a finding of incompetency until at least 48 hours after written notice of the pending operation has been delivered in the manner specified in this section. So the introduction of this bill raised awareness of the issue of reproductive rights of women with intellectual disabilities under guardianship in the state of New Mexico. The framework which I am using to define reproductive rights in this presentation is from the Center for Reproductive Rights. And reproductive rights include the right to equality and non-discrimination, the right to marry and find a family, the right to reproductive health, including family planning and maternal health information, education, and services, and the right to physical integrity. Oops. Through my presentation, I will discuss how these rights fit into the context of full guardianship for women with intellectual disabilities in the state of New Mexico. In New Mexico, guardianship is obtained by an individual or organization by order of the court to exercise any or all powers of the person and or estate of the individual. There are many ambiguities which can result in a possible injustice being done to women with intellectual disabilities related to their reproductive rights. I will now focus on three major areas where these ambiguities exist. They are legal, moral and ethical, and economic. So first is, to what extent do reproductive rights fall under medical guardianship? Guardianship laws do not only apply to people with disabilities, but may be invoked when an individual becomes incapacitated, as in the case of elder care, or if a 30-year-old has a stroke. However, when we relate it to people with intellectual disabilities, does it mean that a guardian may or may not deny a client access to birth control or a visit with their doctor? This also leads to the question, what are the boundaries of a guardian when a client is deciding whether they can have a relationship or choose to have a sexual relationship? Reproductive rights are human rights. However, depending on the type of guardianship which a client has, some or all of their rights may be taken away from them, and the boundaries of a guardian are unclear. In the state of New Mexico, when an individual turns 18, they are considered to be a legal adult regardless of disability. However, if a person requires a guardian and is without one, then it may create a dilemma which may put a client at risk. And under New Mexico guardianship laws, medical guardianship does not address specifically reproductive rights. In other words, it does not distinguish between the right of a stroke victim to receive medical care and the right of a woman with an intellectual disability to specifically receive reproductive medical care. The cost of becoming a guardian for a client is approximately $3,000 in the state of New Mexico, which is quite expensive. In New Mexico, 32.5% of individuals with a cognitive disability are living below the poverty line. This is according to the 2010 America's Community Survey. Therefore, one reason why a person with an intellectual disability may be without a guardian is due to the inability to afford becoming one. Another financial question is, who is required to financially support a client if the client does not have enough resources to support themselves? According to guardianship law, if a guardian has been appointed to take care of a client's finances, they are required to assist the client in making the appropriate financial decisions for themselves. However, the guardian is not responsible for paying out of their own pocket to support a client. So I am putting forth two recommendations from the research which I have done. The first one is to improve data collection regarding guardianship to understand how many women with intellectual disabilities of childbearing age guardianship affects in New Mexico. In New Mexico, there are different organizations and individuals which handle guardianship for people with disabilities. However, there is not a single source to fully document how many women with intellectual disabilities of childbearing age are under these different categories. My second recommendation is to raise awareness that laws on guardianship are silent regarding reproductive rights and may possibly need to be reevaluated. Thank you.
Thank you to all our presenters. We'll take any questions from the floor. If you could please use the microphone so that it gets on the recording.
On state child welfare services to certain unsettled if not that. Only the woman who, she had teenage children, and again, there had been a concern about this. There was also an issue in that household about whether the daughter was providing too much care to the mother, the child care issue. That was an issue that also prompted the actual initial report to the child welfare agency.
Thank you so much for your comment. I just wanted to add, we were able to look at child cancer specifically as one of the potential class in our study. However, we do think this is work related to institution, and one of the key hypotheses is that there is a direct relationship between caring for a child with a disability and maternal mental health and stress, and then that in turn contributes to behavior problems, and that's something that we are definitely looking at.
No further questions. All right. I just want to thank everyone again for being here for the 8:30 early session.